It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With the digital broadcast for Tuesday, July 6th, 2010. Brought to you in part by Lulu's Bait Shack, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, and live music. Lulu's in Beach Place on A1A, the heart of world-famous Fort Lauderdale Beach. Here's what we got to look forward to for the next few days. Those of you who are coming here for comedy or music and have some fun and goof around with friends like we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, sorry, we're going to get a little bit serious on you. But actually, just very informative and educational. We're on the cusp of a whole new modern way of doing things in this country, and commerce and business is changing by the day, and we're trying to keep up with it. So we're going to inform you and stay on top of the social media revolution that's going on. That's the subject for today's show. Tomorrow we'll have the folks from the Fistel Law Firm talking about foreclosures and homeowners' rights. And we're going to learn all the terminology that we're supposed to know as homeowners and get very informative and educational on you. I know. It sounds a little too cerebral. And then Thursday we're going to go right back into the social media revolution with Jeff Ryman, who's doing promotions and staying on top of it. He'll tell you about his line of designer clothing, the Rush Couture, and a whole lot more. So a whole lot to look forward to. Oh, and a big surprise for this Friday's Music Friday. That's when we'll lighten up on you. I'm Bill Murphy, your host, and today joining me as my guest is Jeff Parody. Jeff, thanks for joining me today. This is awesome. I'm looking forward to this.
Awesome. Thanks.
You are I love this title, social media manager, and you're based here in South Florida, and a social media manager means you're a middleman for businesses that are, you know, just correct me if I'm stating this correctly, you're directing businesses into the new modes of marketing and promotion that we have going on today, correct?
Right. We're helping local businesses bridge the gap between the traditional yellow pages and how to use the online marketing to drive more traffic to their business locally.
Because online marketing is growing, like as we speak, the stats are staggering. As soon as you write something down about what's going on numbers-wise, the next day it's already irrelevant because it's growing that fast. Exponentially, it's safe to say.
Correct.
So as an example, your specialty, you explained to me earlier, and what you listeners are going to get out of this today is if you're doing something like, for example, what I'm doing here is a daily broadcast on the internet, on my own, completely start up on my own, and just doing it with the bandwidth speeds the way they are today and the technology there just for the taking, that if you want to go out there and do something on your own, whether it be on the internet or even if it's a, you know, traditional, you know, you got a property and you want to open a business, you have to be aware of what's going on today socially and the promotions world, because it's just changing by the second. And we're going to try to inform you on a handful of things that you can do to enhance your business. Let's start with search engine optimization. This happens to be your specialty. Explain, because it sounds like a big word, and if somebody doesn't really know what it is, we need the definition, and then what's going on with search engine optimization these days.
All right, what SEO is, search engine optimization, is we work with local companies and we target specific keywords. So when a customer or client is looking for that particular business, they find it locally in their area.
And you say the majority of people that are looking for businesses are now doing it online. It is the dominant method of finding businesses?
It's up in the high 80%. When someone's looking for a service, they're going to go online, they're going to type into Google that particular service, whatever it is, and that's how they're going to find you. But you need to be on top of that first page to be able to be found.
Now, if I wanted to be a devil's advocate and argue the point that, well, not everybody knows how to work a computer, not everybody uses Google, is that changing as rapidly as everything else? Is there a percentage of households in the country that are actually computer active daily?
Well, even if it's not on the computer, it could be a smartphone. There's billions of phones out there. And
right, so people that aren't savvy on the internet necessarily have become so just with their mobile phones, some people, right?
Yeah, you can get the same results from your phone as you can typing it in the Google search.
Right.
And that's what people do.
And so that was just a staggering stat. 82% people are using online. So search engine optimization, elaborate on that and how it works and how it drives people to, or how it ends up putting your business right in front of the people's eyes when they go to search?
Well, for instance, if you're looking for a law firm, what we're going to do is we're going to be specific, and we're going to target whatever the particular law firm specializes in. If it's criminal law, we're going to work with that word and the local search engine so that we can, when people are looking for that, it's laser targeted, and they're going to find that particular lawyer.
Now, for instance, you would use a specific lawyer's name as one of the tags, so to speak?
You can brand it with their name. Unless they're known, most people aren't searching for the name. Yeah, it's good to brand it, but the object is to get them the information. So when they, for instance, if you Google it and you can get them to come up, attached to that listing that they find is a link for a website. So you're going to get them to your website, which is going to kind of brand you.
Right.
But the hard part is to get them on that first page of Google.
Now, again, to put it in the language that the layman may understand, just the term so we understand what we're talking about, I'll give you a scenario. Let's say that I called you, social media manager, and had you come in and work on my business, which is a daily interview show that I'm doing on the internet every day by myself. It's called The Bill Murphy Show, and I'd have random people on every day. Where would you start in finding the right keywords and tags to use to promote my business so that when people are looking around for that type of thing, Google will spit it out to them?
Well, depending on the guest, I'd probably target the guest if they were known, or what specific speciality they have.
Okay. So just like I do with the names of the people, and then at the subject of the interview is the listing on my site, I would use those two items in my keywords.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, when you get away from local, it's a little different. It's a much bigger market, so you're competing against a lot more people.
Sure. So if you put like trucking in there, for example,
you're not going to compete.
Right. On a national level.
Correct.
So you want to be geographic about it.
Right.
So.
Well, the way Google works is if you're searching for a particular company, and let's say you're sitting in Fort Lauderdale, Google knows where you're searching from. It's called geotargeting. So when they type in house cleaner, the house cleaners that Google finds relevant are going to show up as the first 5 or 7 listings.
Okay.
If you're in Miami, you're going to get another list of house cleaners in Miami. So they know where you're at, and it's geo-targeted, but you can assist it by adding a modifier, a city name to it, and the specific business.
Now, again, to make sure that we're making it understandable for everybody listening, when we talk about submitting these words and these keywords, where are we talking about submitting it, and how does somebody go about doing that? Now, let's just consider the small business owner, person running a web-based company, and they've got something they need to promote now. Where do they go to submit these keywords of which you speak?
All right. Well, there's a lot of that's a big question.
Well, the only thing is like if you just say I'm just saying because I've been teaching myself a whole lot over the last couple of months, and to hear somebody explain what you just said is great and it makes sense, but I'm immediately going, well, where is he talking about? What does he mean, submit it? Where do you put it in? How do you enter?
Well, this is where I would start. My first step is to do a little research on a company. Then I try to get them on, it's something called Google Maps.
Gotcha.
What that is when you type in a keyword, it's going to bring up a map and it's going to bring up the top 3 or 7 relevant companies.
So you get that person listed in Google Maps?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's probably one of the best places. Then I'm going to go ahead and depending on their website, you're going to optimize their website, right? Meaning you're going to have the right keywords on there. So when people search for it, it's all relevant. Google finds you.
Right.
People just are very broad. So there's a lot of education as far as the local business. They usually want to put in a broad keyword, meaning like house cleaning instead of Pompano Beach house cleaning, where you can really, really be laser targeted. And one of the big things now is video. Video's huge. YouTube is the second largest search engine, and you can really set your YouTube channel up, your YouTube videos up with keywords, and it works the same way with the video as it would with the Google Maps and the web pages. It gives you a lot of options to put relevant keywords and make, when Google goes out and searches, it finds all this relevant information on your company in all these different areas, which makes you the number one business.
So I'm gathering from this, a good idea I'm taking from this for a person like me would be to take a segment of one of my shows or a promo about my show with excerpts of it, put it on a YouTube video, and put as many keywords in there as I can associated with that video so that people just might be looking for anything that has to do with one of my subjects, and they stumble upon my show and they get a promotional message about my show.
Correct. Well, the beauty of that is if they stumble upon your show and you have a YouTube channel set up, it's called, what it's going to do is it's going to list relevant videos or videos that you have.
Right. I have one of those, by the way. I have a YouTube channel.
Very good.
All right. So that's a good start.
Yeah. Well, they're
going to... frantically taking notes while you're talking here. This is very important stuff.
Well, they're going to find other things that you did. So something that you might not have been talking about, they're going to go ahead and find another video. And that's what happens, relevant videos. Once they get on one, they go to the next.
Sure.
And the next, and the next. And
everybody knows those tangents we go off on YouTube.
But. Correct. And then hopefully you have, you know, it doesn't happen often, but these videos that go viral that are funny or I just saw one the other day. It's a dancing baby in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and it has a ton of views.
The baby dancing on the table, right?
Yeah. It's huge. So it's harder to make like a local business video go viral unless you do something funny, and I don't know, it's hard to kind of mix the two, but that's how they can find you. If they find you on one thing, you're going to have other videos with different related topics, and they'll be able to find you as well.
So the people that win in this example of what we're talking about in modern promotions, the people that win are the ones that get the most clever about coming up with the keywords. And it is. And do you do that for the businesses, or do you, you know, you obviously teach people to do that kind of thing?
For local, it's more of a training process because, again, they want these broad keywords that just aren't going to do them any good. I wouldn't even waste my time.
Okay.
It's pulling people back in and getting them to understand that, you know, if you're a local business, you might not get 200, 300, 400, 500 views a month, but those three or four customers that you actually close in a month could be very valuable for you, and
sure.
you might only be 50 views.
Right.
For a restaurant, this would be huge because they could grow all the time. They could they can have their customers actually add their email into their list, and they can instantly promote a one-year anniversary, a lunch special, whatever they want within seconds, and they can do it throughout the day and every day.
Now, let me just ask you one stupid question before we move off into some other areas here. When I've been asked to enter keywords in for tags, or I guess they're called tags. Tags and keywords are pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah.
All right, so when I've been told to ask tags, it says separate by commas. Okay, so let me just make sure that I know I'm doing this right. When it says up to 8, separate by commas, Bill would be one with a comma, and the Bill Murphy would be another one, would be two words, but as long as those two words are after, there's a comma after those two words are one keyword?
Yeah, okay. it depends.
Just so I know, it's kind of a stupid question.
Some sites you have to submit comma separated, some are space separated.
Ooh.
Like YouTube, you wouldn't put Bill in and Bill Murphy because it would delete one of the Bills.
It would.
You have to use different words. See, it's called keyword stuffing. You don't want to do that. You want to be real relevant. You're not trying to scam it.
Right.
You're trying to really provide value for the visitor, and you're trying to, if they're looking for something, you want them to go there and you want them to find it.
Right.
Period.
So if I have a guest and they talk about a particularly intriguing subject, I would I'd put that person's name in there just for the hell of it. And then also I'd put in that the subject of which they're talking about, and hopefully that would just draw somebody that happens to be interested in that subject to my show as one of the examples of their results when the Google results come up.
Right. Well, your show is good because you're covering different topics all the time, so you're all over the place. So the chances of you getting found are really good.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that, but also it does mean that I have to stay pretty busy every day making sure I put in the right keywords after I've done a show. But I don't understand, why is it in particular, that's an interesting point that you just said, why would someone like me who varies from topic to topic and subject to subject have a chance of being exposed to more people?
Well, you're not catering to just one person. You're going to be exposed to, however many topics people are out there. Not everybody's looking for the same thing.
Right.
Some people are just searching, looking to get some information or hear some music.
I see what you're saying.
Or something funny. Right. And they might come across this and go, oh, I have a small business. That's interesting.
Let's talk about Facebook. Now, Facebook is obviously just unbelievably gigantic. And so there, I don't know if anyone is out there has seen this viral video that's been going around for a while explaining what the social media revolution is and how the numbers have increased. The one stat about, okay, there were 50 million listeners, hits, or whatever it is, how long it took certain types of media to reach 50 million.
Right.
And there were, what was that stat?
They give you the stats. For 50 million viewers, it took radio 38 years.
Now stop and think about that for a second. It took 38 years for radio, we're talking about all of radio, to have 50 million listeners from the day it started. Okay.
Correct.
Very interesting.
TV, only 13.
13 years for 50 million viewers to watch TV. That seems odd. That seems like it would be more. Okay, that's surprising, but you would think that, more than 50 million would have done it in the first...
From when it originally started.
Well, we're talking about 1938, 39. Okay, yeah, so
go on. the internet, it took 4 years.
Okay. The internet in general, four years. Now, that's frightening.
Right. And the iPod, when the iPod came out, the iPod iPhone, it took 3 years.
Okay.
And Facebook itself hit 100 million viewers or subscribers in about 9 months.
How about that?
And they're huge. They're up to about 500, 600 million, and that's exponentially growing.
Right.
That could be, one of the biggest countries in the world if it was a country.
So as a result, Facebook now has become an incredibly effective tool for marketing and promotions. Talk a little bit about how Facebook works in as far as promoting a business. I mean, it can do 5 or 6 times the effectiveness of traditional advertising, from what I'm gathering, from what you've told me.
Well, I can give you 2 examples on a bigger scale, like the UFC.
Okay. Good example. Huge organization.
Right. They have their fan page. It's a Facebook fan page, and they have about 1.7 million subscribers. So for them to get something out to all their fans, all the people that love the UFC, they can simply take 5 or 6 seconds, type in an advertisement, watch Spike this week for their new upcoming show, and they can do that throughout the day if they want and hit almost all of those viewers because
right.
It's going to be on their wall. They're going to see it.
And they're only advertising or, spreading their word to people that already care about them. They don't have to deal with the rest of the viewing public and the television or the radio listeners that don't care about UFC and hear the commercial.
But
when you think about the potential, it's just amazing.
Well, what happens then is the people that actually friend UFC, their visitors are notified that they signed, and then that's how it grows so quick.
Right.
I have a separate Facebook page that did the same thing. It just kind of grows by itself.
So if I have a Bill Murphy Show fan page and somebody clicks on the like button, now all their friends are going to see a notification on their page that says that they like Bill Murphy.
Yes,
right.
They do.
And that's priceless right there.
Correct. And, on a smaller scale, like I said, with the restaurant, same thing. They're not going to have 1.6 million views, but throughout the year, they might have thousands of customers that come in that might never come back.
Right.
But they can, they can advertise their own business every day.
Now, Facebook sells advertising in their columns to the side. Okay, you see little items up there. Also, of course, Google does, and you can integrate ads from Google, AdWords, AdSense, or whatever it is. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say that your clever techniques and your strategies for businesses to get the right keywords and search engine optimization does not necessarily mean that that's a way to beat the system on those advertisers. Is there something viable and valuable about Google AdSense and the advertising system they have set up in Facebook's, or is this something that you're saying you can avoid altogether?
Well, you can...
I'm not trying to say that you've got the better idea
actually,
what you're claiming.
You can incorporate it, but... a paid ad isn't really viable for a local business because it's the same premise as Google AdWords as Facebook. It's a way for them to monetize and generate revenue.
Okay,
and you can. Facebook's actually really good. Google AdWords is very competitive, and the price per click per keyword is higher. Now, Facebook actually gives you demographics. So as you're setting up your ad for Facebook, it'll give you demographics. It actually tell you out of the 500 million users how many kind of fit your mold. It might be 1 million, it might be 5 million, so you kind of know what you're working with.
Right.
So for local, but if you're advertising something else, it's great. If you're advertising teeth whitening or something like that, it's good.
Well, I started looking into this, the Facebook advertising, and again, just like everything else I've done, I basically built this new version of my site from scratch from the last 2 weeks of just researching. WordPress. What's WordPress? Looked it up. Looked at the instructions. How do I do it? How does a template work? What's a plugin? What's a widget? All these things. I started from scratch and learned. And just like it is with everything else, the Facebook advertising structure, I read it once, felt a little exhausted, and said, I'm going to go back to this at another time and kind of absorb it, because I wasn't quite understanding price per click. In other words, in a nutshell, is there a nutshell version of how that works? You pay a less amount per click, that means you're less likely to go to the top of the list? I mean, is that a simple way of putting it?
No, the price per click is based on the keyword itself, on how valuable it is. If you're type, like on Google AdWords, if you type in foreclosure, you could pay $5, $10 a click. If you type in Fort Lauderdale foreclosure, now it could be a 5 cents a click.
And so I'm not sure I understand that.
It doesn't matter the cost of the click. If you bid the high amount on that keyword, you're going to get first place.
Gotcha.
Period.
Gotcha.
You can get. That's the good thing about pay-per-click, is that you can get first place ranking immediately. You're paying for it.
Right.
And it.
And they'll stop you if a certain amount of people click. Well, up to a certain amount of dollars, then you don't have to pay for it anymore.
You can set up your budget.
Right.
Now, people that don't know how to do it, I would stay away from that.
Right.
You can lose a lot of money real quick.
So basically, I say, okay, I want to pay $10 for every time somebody clicks on this keyword or clicks on my site from using this keyword whatever it is.
The important thing is, yeah, if you were paying $10 a keyword, which I wouldn't recommend.
Right. Well, you're saying as soon as 10 people do, then I'm done. If I set my
budget
up correctly.
Your budget's gone. But the key is, it's not how many people click, it's how many people convert.
Right.
So you could have 10 people click and no one convert. You can have 10 people click and 5 convert, which is phenomenal.
Right.
Depending on your product. So it's a good way. I incorporate it in some things, but for your show, actually, it would be great. Because you're all over the place. You're all over the U.S., and it would be something you could utilize.
But unless I'm selling something that people are going to pay for, or a subscription that they're going to buy, does it make sense for someone like me to actually pay per click?
Well, it's a cheaper way and a real targeted way to advertise. So if you're going to pay for advertising, you might as well use that.
Right, okay. And it's also something you can keep track of.
Correct. You can track it. There's tracking devices out there, and you'll know exactly where what keywords came in and when they came in and where they came from, what country, what city, everything.
For the devil's advocates, the pessimists out there that think, oh, well, you know, they could just say that I reached my budget and had 10 and not really. Is this all audited and kind of kept under control and regulated? Because I guess there are people, and I rightly so, that would fear, you know, hey, they could just report any way they want and make me pay for it.
Well, the tracking itself shows who's been to your site. So you install tracking. You mentioned WordPress. It's basically a website. It's one of the biggest platforms there is, and it's set up so you can really optimize your site to drive people there. There's tracking software you can place on there so you can keep track of how many people came, how many people went. So you know exactly where everything is.
Basically, what you're saying is you can double-check everything that they're telling
you. Yeah, and you need to. If you don't, you might as well not do it.
This is fascinating stuff, and I don't know how much of it is going over everybody's head or the average listener's head out there, because I know if this was a month ago, even I would have been just incredibly confused. And so perhaps, just like we do with reading the instructions over again, maybe you just want to listen to the show again and, you know, at half speed or something and understand what Jeff's explaining. All right, we had some other things we wanted to touch on here. It's basically, where do radio and television advertising, what is the deal with them now? I mean, they've got to be running scared. They've got to be lowering their prices and restructuring how they do things. I already know that radio stations and conglomerates are basing a lot of their advertising dollars on web hits as opposed to actual radio advertising. And obviously, from what you're saying, it's a lot more effective to get on this exponentially growing social network rather than doing traditional advertising. What's going to happen to those fields?
Well, first of all, TiVo's and the recording, the DVR recordings, are killing commercials. Because
that too.
90% of people are zipping right by the commercials.
Right.
I think there's a stat, 18% of people trust advertising, and close to 80% trust peer recommendations, which is Facebook.
Right. So what you mean by that is, when I post something on your Facebook page or on your wall saying, hey, you were looking for this restaurant, here's this awesome place, go check this out, it's awesome, and people see that wall post that I made, you're telling me they trust that a whole lot more than traditional advertising. If you just said the stat, go ahead and repeat that. I don't know exactly what you said.
78% of people trust peer recommendations, which means if someone you know recommends something, you'll probably try it out.
As opposed to an advertisement where it's...
On TV, 18% trust TV.
Unbelievable. We're talking about four times the effectiveness for something that's free,
right,
too.
Well, you'll see a lot of people ask on Facebook, hey, I'm in New Jersey, where's a good place to grab a beer? And then under the comments, you'll see five or six people answer, and I'm sure they try it out.
Right. Right. Well, they're more apt to try it out than from hearing it from an advertisement, which is what you're saying, which has been proven. Now, this whole Generation Y is an interesting term. What defines Generation Y? Obviously, Generation X has come and gone. And so in a nutshell, what is Generation Y? And are we talking about people that are only going to know this form of advertising and social media networking and all that stuff? As you know, obviously they don't even know what a dial telephone is, so they're way in the future.
Well, Generation Y grew up on computers, so they do know.
Right, okay.
And the baby boomers, you're right, they're up there. And 96% of the Generation Y has done some form of social media, whether it be Twitter or Facebook. So it's here to stay, it's not a fad, and they know how to use it.
So when I say that we are, if you wanted to make a guess and say, well, you know, not everybody knows how to use a computer, and I could say, oh, you know, like my parents, for instance, who just actually now, I thought they would never get into using a computer, and now they are almost on a daily basis. So even those segments of the population that you thought weren't involved are still getting involved. We're going to be at 100% before you know it of the population using a computer.
Well, one of the biggest areas of people that are signing up to Facebook are women between 55 and 65. So they're learning how to use it. And even if they don't know how to use a computer, one of the first things they do is they learn how to turn a computer on and they learn how to type a word into the little search box in Google.
Right.
And something comes up.
Right. And obviously with the innovation of the iPad is making the process of getting on a computer and using it unbelievably easy. We're now down to one or two button pushes and you're in. So all of this being said, everything is right there and becoming more and more user-friendly. I know personally I was waiting for bandwidth and internet upload and download speeds to get fast enough to make this project worthwhile, and obviously it is, and it's getting faster every day. You can listen to my show on the iPhone without it skipping. I mean, that was unheard of 2 years ago. And so now we're off and running, folks, and this is an attempt with Jeff Parody to kind of get everybody aware of this and know some of the facts. Now, since we're running out of time, tell us where, you know, businesses can reach you via email, a website, where they can find you and what you can do for them to get them started on the right track in this revolution that we're in.
Well, one of the best ways to get me is through the phone. I don't even work on my own website that much. I mainly spend most of my time working on your stuff.
There you go. Nice. I like the way you put that.
Right. So you can reach me on my cell phone.
You're not farting around on your own Facebook page. That's what you're saying, right?
Correct.
You're too busy working on other people's sites.
Correct. And you're not limited to local. We can do this anywhere in the country. I could live here. I could be in Thailand, and I could still work on your project.
That's the great thing about this. I could take the show and do it from anywhere. So.
Right. So if we go to Thailand, let's do it.
Let's go.
But yeah, I can do any business anywhere I want. Doesn't matter. But the way to reach me is really through a phone. I have an email as well, which I check all the time.
Phone number?
Oh, okay. I don't know if we want to do that.
You're the one who's got to worry about that.
My local number is 954-709-7778. And an email to reach me at is 30, spelled out T-H-I-R-T-Y, Day, D-A-Y, and my name, Jeff, at gmail.com. 30dayjeff@gmail.com.
And you can be considered, your official title for yourself is a social media manager. So if there's anything that you want to get your business involved with in the social media network, I know I'm obviously going to pull Jeff aside and get a few pointers from him as soon as the show's over, and he can help your business and at least guide you in the right direction on what you need to do to stay up to date. That's what this is all about. And we're going to keep people informed and up to date all week long. Jeff, thanks so much for coming out and sharing all this information with us. Is there anything we left out? I knew we wanted to ask you what the term viral meant And I actually, before we go, I just want to say, when that term came out, I wondered to myself, is that really a good word to use? Doesn't it have a negative connotation to it because of viruses that have gotten in computers and ruined? I mean, am I onto something there? Is it just a very productive term to use?
Maybe in the beginning, but now it's so household that people, they consider it a good thing.
Something is considered viral if what?
If it just explodes on the internet. A lot of times, most things that are viral are videos.
Videos.
They just go crazy. I mean, you'll see it. It gets passed around and millions of views quickly.
So again, one of the first things you're going to recommend to people is get YouTube involved in your promotions.
Video is huge, and we do a lot of it.
Fantastic. So get in touch with them again. That number one more time, Jeff.
954-709-7778.
Fantastic. Very informative stuff. We appreciate it. We're going to have you back for like part two and part three at some point and explain this stuff more in detail. If there's anything Jeff has talked about that you want to know more detail about, you can also email me at murph@billmurphyshow.com and through Jeff, I'll answer any questions that you might have. Tune in again tomorrow for another show right here at BillMurphyShow.com. It comes to you courtesy of Lulu's Bait Shack, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, and live music. Lulu's in Beach Place on A1A, the heart of world-famous Fort Lauderdale Beach. We'll be back tomorrow with another daily digital broadcast right here.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.